Hello. Welcome to the Widow's Mite this very day, talking about the 16th day of April 2021. It's been a long while. Yes, I know. I can't remember. I think it's February that I came your way last. Well, it's not that I've forgotten about you, but the truth of it is that all the activities that took, one of those things that happened to me is I celebrated my 50th birthday and I launched a book. And so that was a huge concentration on pushing the promotion of the book. And then also I was under the weather at a point, but all things work together for good for them that love God, who work according to his purpose. That's exactly how I can describe what I went through in the month of March. And so I'm grateful to God that today you can hear my voice. Today you can join me and say thanks be to God, who gives us the victory to triumph in every other thing. My name is Regina Chris-Ogbodo, a.k.a. Reggie Panache, a.k.a. Mama Reg. Today's episode, what are we going to talk about? Just hold on in a bit and I will give you the details. Just stay tuned. So if you're just joining me, welcome to the Widow's Mite. This is where we bring back the energy into the widow's life. That's talking about that widow that has done all she could, thinking that all is lost. You know, one of the greatest losses one would have is losing a spouse that especially was a part of your history, the part of your story, and a beautiful one at that. It's always so tough to, you know, to lose one that you knew. Your shoulders were right on his shoulder. I mean, your head is right on his shoulder. You're dependent on his advice. You're dependent on, he was a confidant, a friend, and any other thing, a father to your children, for those of us that had children, and a helper. Yes, a helper that looked, you know, towards your good all the time, and then life will just happen. That's one of the greatest. But you know, that is not even the worst. The worst is that after losing, you think nothing can come out of your life again. To me, one of the greatest things, which is the topmost of all losses, is to lose your mind and think nothing good can come out of you. I am of that school of thought that believe that no matter the loss, if you have life, there is hope. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Hope. Hope. Why am I talking about hope in the midst of all these things? You know, that lots of, I dropped a comment some time ago and I said, it's selfish. I actually said, it's selfish for us to, having lost our loved ones, and we refuse to be healed. We refuse to be healed because why is it selfish? And my own conclusion, my opinion is that there are other people that depend on your healing to go further in life. And I had lots of reactions, but one of those that actually did not bother me, because I believe that people have their own way of understanding grieving. And one of the reactions, they said, why would you call grieving as selfish? Allow me to grieve. Somebody said, I want to grieve them forever. Some people said, I don't want to get out of it. But I am glad that a lot other number of people actually shared in my own opinion. One of them of three, four, in fact, a higher number of people on that page actually shared my opinion by saying, one actually said, I never saw it that way because I never thought of my children. Some said, I never thought of the other people that depended on me. And that is where I'm saying hope. Hope is actually not really because of you, but because of the people that would depend on your healing so as to move on with their lives. Now, am I saying a healing? I mean, losing a partner on his own, it's not grieving. I mean, it's not painful enough. No, one of the things that we all know on the ground, yes, underlining it, is the fact that, yes, grieving can never, ever end. As it were. What I mean by that there is always something that could trigger the remembrance of that pain. But the truth of it is that living in grief can be a problem. You can keep grieving, yeah, somehow, some word, because the thought will come once in a while, you know, the moments will come once in a while. But living in grief now becomes a, you know, that's similar to saying you keep feeling guilty, haven't spilled some order, you know, milk, so to say. The truth of it, the milk has been spilled.
And so you cannot pack it back. But the truth of it, that the guilt would be a little bit, but living in the guilt and making it look like you have not forgiven. And you know, there are some people that have tortured themselves, punished themselves, and told themselves, look, I want to feel the pain of the deceased because I'm feeling that I must have been the cause of the dead more. If I had done this or have done the other thing or haven't done this or done the other thing, that person, my husband, would have been alive. But the truth of it is that what has happened has happened. Open up and get healed, because hope, people are hoping for your healing to help them also move on with their life. Now, let me tell you, because you might be asking, Regina, how many other people depend on me? Now, one of the greatest numbers of people for those in Africa, and I'm talking particularly to widows in Africa, hardly would you find a widow without children. Now, you can imagine if you have a widow that has children and has refused to be healed. Do you know what that means? The destruction is not just going to be her life alone, but her children. Because it's always bad enough that when we lose husbands or women lose their spouses, you find out that literally everything is taken away from them. And so the children are hugely dependent on your strength. Now, if you can imagine a woman who's strength that you have to share, so to say, in raising the children to become who they are supposed to be, the dream she and her husband had had together, the plan is, and then that woman decides to say, no, I want to leave and dream. I don't want to get out of the pain. I refuse to allow him to leave me. And she stays there. What do you mean? Do you understand how it becomes very hopeless for the children? Hope is such a road that is so important for life to continue. How much hope are you willing to release, as it were, to your children, to those people that are dependent on you? It could be the hope for the country. It could be maybe a husband or a spouse has left a huge company that ought to grow and thrive. Now look at the hope that you would kill if such people, in the name of maybe workers and that value chain, are not given the chance to, you know, enjoy, as it were, have to be paid, and then, you know, some kind of their own existence continues. You know, and that's where the word selfish comes in. And I'm saying it discretionally. I'm not just being judgmental. I'm not saying that, oh, it's easy for everybody to just get hold of myself and just leave it and then continue with life, because it's not an answer. Actually, that is somebody that is worthy. Don't forget, I actually mentioned the kind of a person might be someone who is hugely dependent on so many things and he's gone. And so, but then, let's look at it on the other flip side. We keep thinking of and feeling the pain over and over, regurgitating. Would that change the situation? Of course it would not.
And that's why I'm always proud of women that like to see the brighter side of life and want to say, what would I have done that would help the memory of my husband?
And that is what the widow's mind is all about. Bringing that mind that is inside of you to tell a better story of what would have been the enjoyment of the enemy being happy that you are in heaven. I like to give the enemy the black eye. And don't forget the widow's mind also with the fourth year. The spiritual and the chosen would you have the religious divinity that was bedrock to you. And that's why when we talk about the enemy, we're not just talking about that and it's the emotional personality or human being, that's the devil. Because the devil, the Bible says, is not to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Can you imagine having children want to see that you're completely we'll be right back.
belong to the group, just join the group on Facebook, The Widow's Mite. Thank you very much. Until I come your way again soon, God bless you. And don't forget, you've got the power. Hello and welcome to another episode on The Widow's Mite and Anchor Podcaster here in Nigeria, right away in Nigeria, talking about Africa, West Africa to be precise. My name is Regina Chris Obodo. I am the anchor person, like I do always. I like to explain what The Widow's Mite is all about. Now, The Widow's Mite is bringing back the energy into the life of a woman that has gone through so much in her life, that has lost all the hope, thinking nothing good would come out of her. So what we do on The Widow's Mite is tell her clearly, because it's real, that you've got the power right inside of you. So what do we have today? Today is actually an inspiration, having gone through the Mother's Day not too long ago. I know some of us were wondering, Mother's Day again? Yes, many denominations decide to have their own Mother's Day on different dates. So that's the more the merrier, isn't it? So I'll take a break. When I return, we talk about this topic, talking about the challenges of widowed mothers. The challenges of widowed mothers. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. If you're just joining me, my name is Regina Chris Obodo again, aka Mama Reg, aka Reggie Panache. I'm the anchor person of The Widow's Mite, this particular program where we bring back the energy into the widowed woman's life. Of course, a widow is the woman. Now, what is our topic today? We're talking about challenges of a widowed mother. Yes, you would have thought that, oh, when you sit down, you talk about the whole episode of losing a loved one and being left at the mercy of life itself, it's already a challenge. But much more when we think about a widowed mother, a woman that must have been left with children to cater for, without any plans, without knowing, because that is what the majority of these widows go through. Now, like I always like to point out, we talk about this particularly within the context of Africa. Africa being where I reside, where the experiences are, being a widow, also a lot of testimonials, quote and unquote, and how women go through. Now, there are stages of motherhood, like we all know. If you're a mother, you know there are stages of pregnancy, and of course, where you have mothers as mothers of infant children, mothers of toddlers, mothers of adolescents, and of course, mothers of teenagers. We're not talking about adults because they take up responsibility and the challenge is always different. But we are going to concentrate on these three categories. That's the infant, and talking about the adolescents, and of course, the toddlers. In Africa, especially when a woman loses her husband, most likely is that she is bereft of every other thing. So yes, she's been every other thing is taken away from her, with the assumption that either the family of the man want to take care of it, or the assumption is that she must have been the one that killed or caused the death of the husband. And so she should leave, you know. Now, many of these mothers are left like that with nothing, or just a little to take care of. And this is one of the biggest challenges. One of the biggest challenges that we have. Now, we talk about a woman, especially, that must have lost her husband at the verge of delivering her child. That's why I talked about challenges of infancy. You see, some of these widows, actually, the man never got to see the baby. It could be the first child, or the second, or the third. Never got to see the third child, and then he goes, and or he leaves. leaving her with nothing. This challenge is enormous. These are some of these challenges that leave the women with mental cases, situations that emotional breakdowns. We know of course, the baby blue, even when the husband is there, if not care is not taken, we know what women go through. How much more when a husband is not there? And so such challenge is always there. You find meet these women going through how they'll go about it, how whatever is there for them to take care of. They are, you know, they are thrown or turned between the devil and the blue sea, as it were. If she's working or doing some vocation, she's wondering, how do I leave my job? How do I take care of the children? These are huge challenges. Also, the challenge of raising a toddler alone on its own is a big, big challenge. And then the one that to me is the most challenging is talking about raising adolescents and, of course, teenagers. These are independent-minded children that want to go and to just fly. They don't want to be controlled. They want to have their way. The assumption is that they're already adults when they're just pre. You find that many widows break down at that moment, either losing the children or the children losing them, or both not having a compromise, a center to hold in order to have their children back. Loads of these are prevalent within the African society. And I must say, it's possible that is also prevalent in other climes, but with different, you know, ways to describe it. In Africa, you find that the adolescents are left to cater for themselves. The mother cannot do anything, or they are forced into, some word forced in the sense that they don't have any alternative rather than to go eke a living by, you know, to help the mothers. These are some of these challenges. I'm going to talk about how we go about it as a widow. I'm not just about reeling out some of these challenges. And there's also the challenge of loneliness in the first place. The widow is lonely. Now, here it is. It looks like having children is enough. You know, there is this erroneous belief that once a woman has children, then she's not supposed to be lonely. But the truth of it is that marriage was set out for the husband and the wife to give themselves companionship, not the children, technically. Because the children are just, they come within a space of time before you know they're gone. They become independent and you are left with them, with yourselves. And then so if the man leaves, you automatically know that there is a sense of loss or loneliness, that she would have loved to have something to discuss with him and nobody to. It's always difficult, and it's really unfair when I hear people say, the children are there, confide in them. I've been experiencing the same situation. I have adolescent children, I have teenage children, and I have even one that has gotten married. I still know they're doing all their best to keep me company, but there are nitty-gritty. There are also physiological needs that such have company of children will not meet. And so it's huge, the loneliness and the challenge of loneliness that a widowed mother experiences in Africa. There's also this particular challenge. I'll talk about the financial challenge, which I'm sure it's a common denominator with every other widow across the globe, except, of course, the husband left you or left her with so much. But in Africa, hardly would you find a widow being left with so much, because it's either taken away if she cannot defend herself, or in the first place, because of the environment, economic situation, hardly would you find so much. These challenges are so enormous. But how do we deal with them? Let me pick it up one by one. Talk about raising. Now, it's already a given that you've lost your husband. The truth of it is that, yes, the moment and the process of grieving is not the same for everybody, but you still also love your children. That's talking about the challenge of raising the children, taking the responsibility of two people all by yourself, taking care of them. I would advise that you consider taking each day one at a time. I'm talking to you because I've been there. When I lost my husband, one of the things I did is I said, look, if I begin to think of how do I do this, especially with the children, I would break down. So what did I do? I allowed the days to pass. Any day I pass, I wake up in the morning and I say, God, one day gone. And so it got to a time that I acclimatize, because grieving, let me be honest with you, all of us now know, it doesn't really go. You just grow with it and find a way to manage it. And so with the children, take a day, each day, you know, at a time. There's every possibility that some of us, like it happened to me, I was a working class person. And so understanding the children to a high degree, my husband knew them much more than I did. So what I did was I had to take back a little of the job that I was doing, change my time and schedule, and began to study the children. I brought them closer to me. I made sure that they were willing, just like they would their father, to speak to me. And so we began to have a rebuild, as it were, a relationship. They saw me, they began to understand me as a father and a mother. So they could tell me, even if they were boys, and of course, if I had issues, I know how to ask questions. Some of them I ask my elder ones. I have male friends that are my husband's friends that have taken up the responsibility to some degree to foster the children, even if it's afar, you know, become mentors to them. So they call them once in a while. If I have issues directly, I call them. I say, could you speak? They don't necessarily have to come stay alone. Of course, we know for obvious reasons. And so these are some of the things I did to deal with that. Talking about the challenge of taking up two roles of becoming a father and a mother when it comes to raising these children. And of course, I know also the financial challenge let me just put it together. Some of these financial challenges, we cannot overlook it. But I would advise that you begin to think of what you could do to augment. Of course, it's no longer news, it's no longer castings. We know that no one survives by one stream of income. It's an advice, highly advisable, whether you're widow, or you are not, that you should have more than one stream of income. And so what do you do? Begin to ask. There are many grants, there are organizations. Set up yourself, create opportunity for relationships outside so that you get news on how grants are being given. Get gifts that could come. You just start small, but just know that you have a big vision. And of course, dealing with loneliness, I would always say that if the challenge is loneliness, if you must, begin to think of remarrying. Build up. It doesn't have to be in the now. I'm talking to you, especially if you just lost your husband. Begin. And I don't think if you lost your husband just now, the first thought is having a husband. But then things like that do come. When loneliness sets in, it could be deep. You could start a relationship with people. Begin to go out a little bit. You might not be able to open up to everybody, but just there is always someone to confide in. There are groups that you could come as an anonymous and they welcome you. And then they share ideas with you, give you heads up, give you some talk, just relating their own, you know, when you have similar situations, you'll find somebody that would relate and will become vulnerable to one another. And you speak to yourselves. And by that, you find out that loneliness reduces. And of course, if it gets to that point that you must remarry, consider that. But then I would strongly also advise here is an advice that when you're doing that, please consider the children, especially when they are still dependent on you, because it will not be good for you or even the spouse that's about coming into your life if you do not have a set, you know, agreement on how to go about them. There are a lot of women, and I've met a few number of them also, that are not willing. They want to remarry, but they are not willing to allow the man in their life to become the father figure. If you are not comfortable, if you're not trusting, you feel you don't trust that person, I think it's not even advisable to start it all over. Well, I hope all these that I've said are of immense help to you. Please make sure Another Widow hears this. Of course, we are always here on Anchor podcast. All you need to do, go and click. Keep clicking and clicking, sharing, drop your comments. Let's know the feedback. We will really, really appreciate. And so until I come your way again, my name is Regina Chris Ogbodo. Don't forget, as we say, on the widow's might, you've got the power, because there is a God in you that can strengthen you and you become 10 times better. Bye for now, and God bless you.
Hello, welcome to The Widow's Mite once again. My name is Regina Crusoe-Bodo. Like we do on The Widow's Mite, this is where we bring back the energy back into the life of that widow that must have lost all the hope of the world, having lost our loved one. Well, once again, my name is Regina Crusoe-Bodo, a.k.a. Mama Reg, a.k.a.
Reggie Panache. Today's episode, we'll be continuing with some of the topic we actually started earlier on, and like I said, this month is dedicated to the International Widow's Day. You know the theme today, of course, this year means invisible women, invisible problems. Now, last week we talked about a particular topic, which is say remaining hopeful even when it looks bleak. Some of the problems the widows faces. Okay. Let's take a break. When I return, we continue. Welcome. Okay, you're welcome to The Widow's Mite. Once again, my name is Regina Crusoe-Bodo. Okay, we're moving on to our next topic, as it were, in continuation of what we talked about, remaining hopeful. Some of the things that widows are facing that look so invisible, yet are problems that are physically right on their faces. One of the greatest problems, as it were, for the African widow is the ability to sustain herself and her children. It's been recorded almost 75% of widows in Africa are highly dependent on relatives and meager stipends they make either in their vocations or their workplaces, or even when they eke a living by either farming or doing menial jobs across the continent. Bottom line, hardly would you find a widow really sustaining herself and her children. And so the basic need, which is the Maslow, so to say, doesn't really work. The Maslow law does not really work for the average African widow. She is barely scratching and so might not even have the time to mourn or to grieve because she has loads of responsibility. So the tendency is that she suppresses those moments that she should need in, you know, going through healing or grieving that would make her a little bit, you know, lighter in the head. Most of these challenges are so overwhelming that you find out that not even the society has had basic cushioning effect that should be able to help. Now, the government of various nations across the globe, especially in Nigeria, have had to do a lot, and we appreciate some of them, but like people say, many organizations have to say, it's not enough, because in this continent, or in Nigeria alone, we're having widows growing in number with the security issues and challenges that are bedeviling the nation. The tendency is that there might be a 2% growth, or if not 10% growth, when it comes to widows across the state. So some of the invisible problems, and of course the invisible women, is the fact that it's a vis-a-vis thing. Women that ought to be heard. Some people are the ones, taking their time to explain their problems, which has been one of the reasons why we have not been able to solve at the bottom or at the crux, at the center of the problems of the widows. Because people that are actually made to work for the widow to help ameliorate the conditions she's going through are actually not such people that have empathy. And it might not be direct, it might not be intentional, but because they've not experienced it it's just more of a job to them. They cannot have the empathy as to how to deal with it. So one of the things that some organizations, which also my organization is in support of, is that widows must be involved in policy making that would help their situations become better. Because it is in that that the diagnosis, as it were, of their problems would be truthfully measured. And of course, it is from there that we'll be able to bring out the solutions that would help deal with the perennial problem of lack of food, of the children dropping out of school and having a sustainable, you know, standard of living, health, and everything that has been a great issue with the widow. Now, I might have to take a break here, or to take a long break, as it were, to stop here for the week. I'll be coming back because we know the next few days we'll be having the International Widows Day. I'll be coming with more talk for us to see some of the solutions and some experiences of widows, even over the years, if indeed they're invisible, or indeed their problems are invisible. Can we really say that the problems are invisible? Yes or no? These are the questions we'll be talking about. Well, until I come your way, my name is Regina Crisobodo. Do have a great morning, great afternoon, or great evening, depending on the time. Belt, you belong. Goodbye. It's amazing, 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 amazing day already in the month of August. Yes, sir, my sincere apology. It was not around in the month of July. Oh, throughout July, it's just crazy. Yes, very busy for me. But isn't it great that we're today alive, you and I? We can hear each other, and you're welcome to the Widow's Smite, that prayer room where we bring back the energy into the life of that widow. One whose light looks as if that all is lost. Like we say on the Widow's Mite, you've got the power. My name is Regina Crisobodo, aka Mama Reds, aka Reggie Panache. What are we talking about today? Facing your fears. Yes, facing your fears. We'll take a break. When we return, we continue. So welcome back to the Widow's Mite. If you're just joining me, this is a podcast of the Anchor podcast that is also always broadcast, except when it's not too convenient, so to say. But it's been a wonderful time so far, so good, since 2018 when we started this podcasting. It's been a great response that I'm getting from people. I like you to always share, help us to share, and let's let another woman tell another woman, that all hope is not lost. So we're talking about facing your fears. Yes, talking about fear, everybody has a particular fear. I'm talking about the claustrophobia, the fear of heights, the fear of death, the fear of anything, you know. But there's this particular fear that comes as a result of an event, and this is why I'm talking about it. That's talking about facing the fears of, okay, I've lost my hubby, my love, my best friend, my our breadwinner, and of course there are lots of things, loads of fears come. They come like a deluge upon you when you do not know what to do. Now, like I always like to, let me pause here to talk about it, because my particular interest is the fact that we come from, I'm talking from the perspective of a third world nation, particularly the African continent, talking about Nigeria. There are, I know, widowhood, there's some peculiarities, there are basic things that all of us go through, but there are also some things that are so peculiar to the environment, and then also to the society in the third world nations, and particularly Africa. So when such things happen. I've attended a lot of widow organizations or widow programs, so to say, international programs online, and I've watched some of the groups that I belong to, and some of the things I see are very interesting. But there is one fact that I know cannot be taken away, is the fact that everyone grieves. Everyone goes through the stages of grieving, the grief, the denial, the anger and everything. But there's more to it. Whilst others are grieving, particularly only about the loss, in Africa, it's not just the loss. There's also the fears of how do I take care of the children? How do I face people? What do I do or what do I not do? Loads of fears. One of the most common fears are for those of us that have children, and then the fears of how do I take care of the child. I've said it over and over in different ways, but I'll keep talking about it because unfortunately life happens every day. In Africa, hardly would you find widows actually losing their spouses and having everything. Majority of the widows end up being vulnerable, end up being without anything, because culture and tradition also that are really, really being fought by a lot of us in the organizations across the continent have made a lot of women come back. It's like losing a husband, you lose all over. You lose entirety of your life savings when you were, hustling or, raising the children together. The assumption is that the man was the one that did it alone. And so the culture also has a way of causing a lot of inhibitions in the growth and the progress or the moving on of a particular widow. So that is why talking about facing your fears, it's actually a little bit not so exact when you look at it if you are the European continent or in any other, talk about the United States of America. In Africa, facing your fears are real. You face the fears of your in-laws, you face the fears of the society that is already telling you what to do, what not to do, facing the fears of, when do I stop mourning? The society would tell you it's enough, you could move on. These are all the fears. Some would tell you, are you crying? Other people are coming behind you, so you're not the first, neither would you be the last. So why are you making it look like yours is special? These are all the fears of trying to genuinely express the pain one goes through. The society just gives you and releases it as a fear to you. So what we're talking about today, I'm advising, is that you can face all of them. Now, how do you face your fears? By first of all telling yourself that you have all it takes to face the fears. Isn't that very interesting? We have everything inside of us. And I'm talking to you because the Bible says all things work together for good for them that follow him. And say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now, there is something inside of you that should be able to help you get out. And that's the widow's mite that we always talk about. As a Christian, and I'm talking as on the anchor of Christ himself. Now, we are not supposed to fear. And by the way, let me say straight on, I know it's not too easy because I've gone through it. Understanding all the perspectives of tradition can be so Herculean that sometimes you find it difficult, even when religious organizations are saying it. Some are not actually practicing it. They allow such traditions to overrule some of the beliefs of of the Christian practices. And so you get to find the woman really being left in between, in the deep blue sea. But I'm talking about, let's assume that you know you're right in Christ. You face the fears that, look, people will talk. People will definitely talk, whether you keep quiet or you don't, whether you act or you don't. In fact, the fact that you sit down and you're moping every day and cry is another thing for somebody. Or the fact that you decide to wake up and say, look, I've mourned enough, let me move on. I know I'm grieving, but let me move on and feel good and look happy. It's something entirely. So there's nothing really actually that you do that someone is not angry about, especially within the context that I'm talking about. So how do you face this fear? First of all, tell yourself, I would be the one, once I'm done with some basic traditions that are not harmful. You know, given the honor, they say we should give them honor, the dead, the honor by certain number of months, some is a year, you mourn him, and when you're done, you should. For me, let me just tell you, and I'm not asking you to do, I followed the biblical perspective. I knew when the pain, so to say, that particular deep pain left me, and I knew I had to move on because my children needed to eat. My children needed to be clothed. My children needed to go to school. Nobody was going to do for anything for me. And so if I had stayed back and decided to say, I want to go through the whole 9 yards, so to say, I would not have been able to take care of my children. And I'm sure it wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have been even here to give you this podcast. And so I think sometimes the tradition and beliefs have a way of impeding growth for the woman. So it's better you face this fear by telling them, look, X, Y, Z, my in-laws, I love you. And my husband also knows that I love him. The fact that I'm not still, you know, staying within the confines of the house like they always want us to stay. Do not get out until 3 months. Do not do this until this. You don't do that until that. Look, if I did that, because most families don't even help. So tell them to their face or take an action that would tell them, look, I understand what I'm going through. He is my husband or he was my husband. I you couldn't have felt the pain like I do. So please, I need to move on by making sure my children are protected. So my staying back should not mean anything. It's just like the story of Naomi and Ruth. I cannot stop talking, making reference to that. Ruth understood that if she had stayed so long, moping and mourning alongside her mother-in-law, they would die of starvation. So why do you need to stay, die of starvation, all in the name of, I'm afraid of what people will say? So face that fear, sister. Get up and face that fear. There's another fear, the fear of what people will say if I begin to look good. Now, looking good is not like having a party every day, but just making yourself look so beautiful. Finding a way to just bring some kind of a joy, because the truth of it that the pain never really goes. Nobody feels the pain like you do. The mourners, no matter how they cried with you, they stayed with you to the graveyard you buried, they couldn't have. I don't think any of them keeps up with the mourning like you do. Statistics have shown that the pain of the loss of a spouse is the highest form of pain when it comes to grieving. So we will face that. People need to understand that you are the one going through this pain. So the fact that I do not, or I look like I'm well dressed, the word I'm properly dressed, or I look nice and beautiful, I go once in a while, I need to go out, you know, when there is a party or something, I need to go, does not mean that I'm not grieving. And these are some of the fears. A lot of women are bottling up. They're not allowing themselves to exhale. Yes, that's the word. And because of that, a lot of sicknesses and diseases get compounded into their system. And it becomes worst of. Unfortunately, at some very severe cases, you find out that the woman goes almost immediately, leaving the children to become outright orphans. Facing the fears also is by telling yourself, look, I have to make some decisions that ordinarily not everybody would take, or even the fear telling you that I cannot. That's some of the things I tell people, that I never knew I could do it, but I had to tell myself, look, I've got to do it. I never knew that I could have 4, 5, 6 balls when it comes to business, juggling all of them together. I used to think I'm just a 9-to-5 kind of a woman and I'm okay with it, but right now, bring it on. Anything that is legitimate and that I know I can speak about it and I can sell the idea and I get some money, I'm in. So face the fears. Oh, people will tell you that, oh, this woman wants to sell everything. Is it everything you want to do? Oh, well. Deal with it. You know, you need to tell them to deal with it, because you know what advantage that it is to you. I need the money. I need to take care of my children. There are bills that I need to, you know, pay. I don't want to depend on anybody. And you could be facing the fears of a relationship. You want to move on. Maybe you feel, okay, I've mourned him 2 years, 3 years, some even 5, you know, 1 year, and they feel the need to move on. But the fear of what would people say is keeping them down. Sister, you need to face those fears. These fears are real. And the truth of it, like I said on my Facebook page, on the Facebook page and our group page, and I said, the truth of it is that your fears are afraid of you. Do you understand? The brighter the light, the shadow disappears. That's the truth. When the light becomes so strong, the shadow naturally would disappear. Because there's this assumption that we think fear is something that comes upon us that overpowers us. Yes, it does if we allow it. Fear comes as a result of we allowing it be. So if you think about it, you realize that your fear actually fears you. So sister, face your fears. I cannot wait to get your response immediately after, and I will need you to talk and share and tell as many as possible that look, yes, I'm grieving. Yes, I'm going through pain, but I would not allow my fears to cower me down. Never, not again. I used to tell the devil to his face every day, I said, you've got me once, you can't get me twice. I would make sure I fulfill destiny. And I know with the help of God, because the Bible tells me that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The strength is already there. I'm tapping into the grace, the enabling grace to make sure that I win. Because see thou the path of the righteous, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Well, that's it for today. And I'm hoping and I'm praying and I'm so happy already, knowing that from your response, and I'm expecting it so soon, you will tell me that you have changed that attitude of thinking that your fears, you cannot face them, because fears fear you. Once again, my name is Regina Crisobodo. Follow me on Instagram, of course, _ The Widow's Mite, or the Facebook page. We are also in a group. If you want to belong to the group, go to the Facebook page or the group, The Widow's Mite. You'll meet us. Or you might as well follow me on my personal Facebook page, Regina Oren Chris Obodo. I'm live here in Lagos, Nigeria, and of course, Cap Africa, the world. Thank you so much. Please share. God bless you. Welcome to the Widow's Mite, this wonderful day, the 15th day of October 2021. It's been a long while since I've been here. I think I was here last in, was it March or April? Well, a lot of water has gone under the bridge, as they say. Welcome to the Widow's Mite. My name is Regina Crisobodo, aka Reggie Panache, aka A Mama Regia. Of course, if you're just joining me for the first time across the globe, whether this afternoon or evening or whatever time this dial will be clicked, just know that this is what we are all about. The widows, we're bringing back the energy into the widow's might and telling her that you've got everything to make you move on with your life in spite of the grieving you're going through. A lot of people believe that grieving cannot stop. They believe that it's supposed to be a continuum, and some even believe that, lots of believe, but I have my reservations. I believe that with time has a way of healing. You might never forget a spouse, but then the pain and experience of losing that spouse might not be the same as it was at the beginning. Of course, I'm a woman of faith. I believe that God has a way of helping us to cushion the effect. And of course, in the end, give us restoration. By the way, in my church today, this month is restoration month. Let me take a break. And when I return, we'll be talking about a very, very important topic. And that is how you can turn your experience and be helpful to other women. Unfortunately, life always happens, and it will always happen. This year alone, very close people that I know died. And of course, two of those close people that I know, two are my very, very good friends, that they lost their husbands. That's 6 years after mine. actually went to be with the Lord. So I'm going to tell you exactly what I went through and how we're still coping. Just stay tuned and I'll be right back after this time out. Okay, welcome back. If you're just joining me, this is the Widow's Mite and Anchor podcast. My name is Regina Akriso-Bodo, aka Mama Reg. We're talking about the experience that I happen to have gone through with some of my friends this year. Like I said in my introduction, I was not around and I've not been around in my podcast. A lot of things I've been doing, and most of these have been, comforting, sharing, and then helping to carry the burden of pain of some of my friends that actually lost their husbands. So I took a cue of what happened, and I just told myself, wow, things happen. Sometimes some of us experience some things in order for us to become equipped to help other people. And that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. You know, sometimes when life happens to you, you ask questions. And I think a lot of people do that. In my place, it's a very common. In fact, we have a line and a cliche, God, why? Why me? Or why should it happen to me? Why not? Then the question has always been, who else? You know, it just happens and we cannot question God. For those of us that are people of faith, we know we cannot question God. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, to them, if you love God, you believe that God is good and all the time God is good and he does everything beautiful in his time. We know that even death, when we know that the enemy is the one that struck, we know that God has a way of making a way out of nowhere, no way, even in that situation. So that's where we are. These close friends of mine, one of the things that first actually helped me in helping them is the fact that we share the same faith. We're not just nominal Christians. We are such women that believe in the sovereignty of God. We believe that the Christian and a Bible way of mourning. Yes, I believe that a lot of people have this belief. I've read lots of articles about grieving. In fact, I've made a post some time ago and some people were saying, what do you mean? Why do you want me to stop grieving? So there are schools of thought that believe that grieving should not ever stop. But as the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, as a Christian, the Bible says, we do not mourn as those that do not have faith, you know, or hope rather. That's the word. Now, what that means is that the mourning has a, we shouldn't get to a point that you grieve yourself, grieve your body and make it look like, oh, I lost this man forever. Because every Christian, as long as you believe that Jesus Christ died, he resurrected and is coming back again after going to the Father, you will know that the dead will one day rise again. And the Bible says we would see face to face and we will recognize ourselves. It might not be that we are husbands or wives, but then we will recognize ourselves. So the Christian perspective of mourning is not the same as other people if you follow the Bible, because grieving, God has a way. The Holy Ghost is a great comforter. He has a way of ameliorating. And of course, time, we know that it's even a general, it's a given. Everyone knows that time is a great healer. We've said it over and over again. But I'm always wondering why some people think that when it comes to grieving a spouse, time shouldn't be. And so I believe that sometimes it's a mental thinking, or that's a deliberate pegging of lack of opening up for that. I'm not judging you, but I believe that if you allow yourself, if you allow people coming, if you allow words of comfort, if you allow other beautiful things happen to you, you can manage the pain. And before you know it, the remembrance of that spouse would rather be of, the sweet memories rather than being in pain. Anytime you remember, you must tear up. Well, that's a, by the way, I'm using that to actually tell us what I think about what the Bible says concerning mourning, because we are hopeful. We know that we're going to see them. But then with that mindset, my friends understood that they need to observe. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word. Of course, my friends, one, it's the shock because both of them, their husbands were ill, but then when the illness was, I was there from the word go until the very last day, so to say. So I could come, I saw the progression or retrogression rather. And so we teared up even before the death occurred. So when God opened up our eyes to see that, look, this would eventually happen, we had already started getting prepared, and I had started telling God to help me talk to my friend that, look, this man might not make it. You are calling him home until, of course, confirmations came. Some people say they saw him in a dream, you know. That's another thing entirely. Some people do not want, but some people said, he actually came and said, look, allow me to go, because he was not communicating. We would get there, we'll pray and come back. You know, all that period is actually one of the most gruesome, the painful part of it. So for such person, her pain actually, her grieving actually started before the loss, you know. So she knew he was going. And then when he left, it was like, okay, I accept that, God, you've taken over, but I know where he's going. So what we were left with is the fact that, okay, life has to move on. So I've been able, by the grace of God, I began to see why sometimes it's for us to become a shoulder for someone to lean on. And so my question always comes to this. If you say you want to keep grieving, how do you want to console the other? How do you want to comfort the other? Because it takes somebody who's strengthened before you can strengthen the other person. So there is a need for us to understand that we can come together, share the pain, yes, but then one would have a stronger faith in order to make the other one get out of our pain, at least to some degree, to be able to move on with life, because both of them have children. So it's not about you, it's about the children. The children too are mourning, they're grieving, they're very young, so they're grieving. So if we remain in grieving, I had to tell my friend, I said, look, it's not that you cannot grieve, but you have to stand in the grief so that you bring the children together, because they too are going through. They need to understand. I was able to explain how children also grieve, and then we should not sideline them when it comes to consolation. We see visitors come in and then the concentration is only on the woman, forgetting that there are the children to have a way, or their ways rather, of grieving. So we're able to understand the steps by step, being able to advise her. And someone, I'm sure you're asking, how did you advise her? First of all, I began to explain to her the need to understand that, look, people are going to be coming, especially because it's in Africa, that loads of people that will come, a lot of talks, some people's talks being typically of Africa. Some people would tell you don't cry, the others would tell you cry, this one would tell you sit, the other one, traditions are going to come, but stand on your ground. What do you feel within you? What do you want to take? Sometimes you have to shut down mentally against any unwholesome talk that would affect you. Of course, they took in. And of course, even as I said, you know, one of the things we should not do is to assume that what we went through is the same as what do we go through. No matter how it looks, so similar as it looks, it's still not the same. What makes you grieve is not necessarily out of the loss of the man. It's actually out of the thought. Some is out of the thought of the times, the beautiful times, the moments, or we could be even, somebody could be, maybe the last few hours they had an argument. And so the woman is grieving and regretting. So people assuming that, oh, she's a pain that he died. But it might be just, why did I allow it? So the pain is beyond, it becomes more of a torture, self-torture, rather than grieving a loss, you know. So we need to decipher that also. If we're close and we're friends, we need to extricate those things and put them in perspectives. in order for the woman to mourn properly. Because if somebody lives in regret, sometimes she might not have to. It's after going, torturing her, and then when that, maybe she gets over it, she'll begin to think of mourning, and then that becomes so, you know, terrible. I had to explain to them, because both of them had their cultural beliefs, because the husbands, where they married in Africa, we have different cultures, very interesting ones, and some that are just obnoxious, that are just are not properly, that we could call them, they're not right for the system. It's no longer attainable. It has never been right, because it's inhuman for some of us. So because of our belief, we began to tell them, look, you have to take a stand in case X, Y, Z wants to happen. But we're glad that Christianity and civilization is already helping out the people, even within families. They are divided as to how to go about some traditional rites. So the widow is gaining her strength, gaining her confidence, gaining her right, and of course she's making all the progress. So my friends, I was able to explain to them this, and of course we took decision. One of them has, the husband has been buried, and so she's moving on. The children are already moving on, and there is already light in the horizon. There's hope for them. And the other, we're still waiting. We're going to do the burial. But then she's going through nicely, the right kinds of people. Prayers are coming every day. We're helping her in prayers and backing her up and trusting God. You know, sometimes when you cannot say anything, just pray. For those of us that are believers, I'll keep interjecting. If you are not, just keep quiet. If you don't have something nice to say, you don't need to say. Because some of us, in the course of thinking that we are comforting, we are actually aggravating the pain. So we need to be quiet. Some of us are so expressive. Oh, some even want to regurgitate. Let me put it for want of words. You know, we regurgitate just because we saw how the man, you know, transited. We saw how he emaciated, how he was so sick. We want to begin to replay to the woman's hearing. All in the name of explaining to, because people ask. Some of us want to hear the story over and over again. Let me tell you, that is not helpful. That is not helpful. Just like faith comes from hearing and hearing the word, unbelief also comes from hearing and hearing. When somebody repeatedly keeps hearing painful stories, there is a way that it will psychologically affect the person, and in the end, can't take up all his system or her system, and it's either leaves out with so much sadness of a spirit, or becomes so agitated, angry, and or hopeless, and thinking that life is gone, and wishing, oh, why don't I go along with the person? So let's learn to be mindful of words. Words are powerful. Words can be arrows. Words can be building blocks, depending on how we use them. And I trust God that we will be smarter when we find ourselves, you know, comforting someone that has lost her husband or his wife. Well, on this long note, and I believe you've learned so much talking about how to grieve with a sister and how to help a sister come out of the initial shock, unbelief, and any other that we have talked about. Once again, my name is Regina Chris Obodo. Please share, click, of course, I need you to put the notification so that you listen to The Widow's Mite anytime we bring out another episode. Once again, my name is Regina Chris Obodo. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And of course, lest I forget, congratulations to all our daughters on the International Day of the Girl Child. We are so proud of you. You're making progress. Keep being good. God bless you.